Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. My name is Brian Hitney. I am a technical evangelist in the East Region USA developer and platform evangelism team. And today I've got with me a great guest, Matthias Shapiro. Matthias, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do as part of the Corp DPE team?
Yeah. So my name is Matthias Shapiro. I am a technical evangelist, and my focus is Windows Phone. And specifically in the last couple of months, I've been focusing on Windows Phone and what we call Build for Both, which is building an application that runs both on Windows Phone and on Windows 8. So that's been my big focus. It's kind of an exciting place to be where we can have an application that lives on your ultra mobile device, but also your tablet or your laptop or your gigantic desktop.
That's really awesome. Now, before we get into any of these technical details, some exciting news that just recently came out is that we're merging the store and Windows Phone accounts, right? So that kind of leads into all of this. That makes it a lot easier, not just from a technical perspective, which is what we're going to talk about today, but also just from an account perspective. Having one account, personal accounts are only $20 a year, and that will cover both phone and Windows Store. So that is really good news. Makes it a lot easier to develop for both platforms. But, you know, since I spend so much of my time out in the field talking with people, obviously developing for both platforms is one of the most frequently asked questions, because, you know, it's in some cases people who are familiar with WPF understand, okay, you've got this Silverlight on Windows Phone and you've got this sort of WPF-like XAML on Windows Store, but there really hasn't been until recently some good guidance about how to develop for both. Right. And that's what we're going to spend a lot of time talking about today, right, with basically PCL. So do you want to, and we're also going to talk about MVVM, because that's a big part of leveraging PCL. So do you want to start by introducing PCLs and what they are and what they do, and also MVVM?
So right now when we're talking about build for both, one of the important things we need to remember is that a build for both requires an understanding of architecture, right? We need to know what kind of functionality, files, business logic, UI, where does it go, how does it interact, how does it work on both platforms at the same time. And so I have a little chart that I pull up. I've given this guidance, this talk a couple times, a couple different places. But basically, we have something called a portable class library. And a portable class library is we put as much code as we possibly can. And we'll talk about what PCLs are in detail. But basically, it's a great place for a good chunk of our business models, a good chunk of our networking capabilities, but as much as we can manage to fit into our portable class libraries, because once it's in a portable class library, it is easily shared across any application that PCL, or any structure that PCL supports. And that structure could be Windows 8, it could be Windows Phone, it could be WPF, it could be Silverlight, it could even be Xbox 360, although I do have to warn that the PCL API set for Xbox 360 is fairly narrow. But it is still there, and so portable class libraries allow us to build for this gigantic range of platforms very, very easily. And so if we're doing build for both, that's where we would start. But we also have a really powerful concept of shared files inside of Windows and Windows Phone applications, so that even if we have functionality that we can't necessarily fit into our portable class libraries, we can still share exactly the same file across Windows and Windows Phone. And we have a system for making sure that if there are tweaks that we need to make between the two platforms, they can be managed very easily inside of the same file. So one of the most important, one of the biggest things for, if we're talking about build for both, is we need to understand what we call the MVVM, model view, view model architecture. So the question is, what is MVVM and how can I use it to build my applications? Well, MVVM starts with a model, and a model is just a kind of a dumb object. It's just a simple object. It has some properties. If it has any methods, it's taking one property and translating it into something that's more easily digestible by our application. So, for example, if we're connecting to a JSON object or an RSS feed, maybe we got our date in a string format, and we have a method in our model that translates that string format into a date time that we can more easily use and do cool stuff with. It's very, very simple. A lot of people call them dumb models, and I'm okay with that. That's the M in MVVM. The first V stands for the view. It's mostly XAML. It's a little bit of code behind, but the real thing that we need to understand with the view is that it is how it... The view is what our user understands about our application. It's what they see. It's what they interact with. And so navigation and animations and all the interactive portion of our application, what the user is actually touching and looking at and mousing over, that's going to be considered our view. So that's the first V in MVVM. Then the VM piece is view model. And the view model is the bulk of our application. It's the business logic. It's going to handle what does the application actually do with the data when the user interacts with it. It's going to handle all of the service calls out to web services. It's going to be as much the vast majority of our application, or what we consider to be our application actually working, is happening inside of the view model. And so the question is, okay, this seems like an interesting sort of architecture. Why am I using it? And there are a couple of good reasons. The first one is it gives really great design and development separation. The view in MVVM application connects to data using something called data binding. And because it does this data binding, it means that we can kind of take the view, we can build it in one place, completely apart from our models and our view models, and then we can pull them together using this binding concept. And so it's automatic data updates and interaction updates between our views and our view models that allows us to separate those two out, work on them piece at a time, and not have to integrate those two things in terms of the development process. It gives us a lot of great code reuse. The way we build models is usually a way where we can share them across any sort of application. View models similarly have a lot of great code reuse, and we're going to talk a little bit about that when we talk about portable class libraries and shared files. But you can also build multiple views on the same logic. This is actually one of my favorite things about MVVM because I've used it a lot in practical applications. A great example of this is, let's say you're building something like a patient information application, just something simple, but you know you've got different roles involved. You've got a nurse who's going to come in and take a look, and you've got a doctor who's going to come in, and he's going to have higher permissions level and do a lot of different things. Well, these two roles can drive off the exact same view model, and you simply give them two different views, and the nurse would be looking at one set of data, and the doctor would be looking at a different set of data, and we're not even, the great thing about this is that we don't even have to worry about turning on or off functionality if we've got multiple views. We can simply say that the nurse's view only has this data on it, and the doctor's view has this other data or a different set of data or a different arrangement of data. And we can manage that without having to, by simply saying, okay, this role gets this view, this other role gets this other view. So it's probably one of my favorite things about MVVM because it's so practical and I use it all the time. The last one is we get this great opportunity for view logic testability. And this means because we do binding inside of our view, we can write these test cases that don't need to simulate clicks. They can actually just go to the view model and say, when the user clicked on this thing, they run a command, or when the data changed, we got this data binding update. And it allows us to write these much cleaner tests for our applications. So how could one of the things that that we need to keep in mind is that PCLs can extend past what we might think is possible. So I talked a little bit before about how PCLs have no access to file I/O. Well, that means that they also have no access to something like local settings. And so when we have something like local settings, well, it exists in Windows Phone, it exists in Windows Store, it exists in Silverlight. It'd be really great if we could implement it inside of our PCL in a way so the PCL can say, the PCL, the view model, can say, oh, you know, the user's done this interaction, they've changed something, and we want that change to persist in local settings so we can pull it up later on. One way we can do that is by using platform abstraction. And so if we create this abstract class inside of our PCL, we say, okay, we've got public abstract class, do local settings, and we just give it a method, and we say, here's an abstract method, and using this abstract method, we're going to set some local value, just basic name name value pair. Then inside of our PCL view model, we can call that by using this static call example local settings dot instance, and then just call that local value. Now that'll work inside our PCL model, but we need an implementation inside our individual applications in order to drive that. And so the way we do that is we have this concrete class inside of Windows Phone, inside of Windows Store, that simply says, I want you to inherit from the PCL class that we have, and I want you to set the local values in the way that is appropriate for your platform. And so this way, we can still have our PCL drive the majority of our business logic of our workflow, but we just have a couple of different little implementation differences that we make specific for Windows Phone and Windows Store. So in addition to that simple PCL model that I've shown and the abstract implementations that we can use, and I've seen a lot of people do some really impressive stuff with that, we also have a lot of great open source projects that are PCL compliant. Now, what's great about these is that if you're used to using something like MVVM Lite, which I use all the time, then you can download the PCL, you can build your view model using MVVM Lite and all the power that it gives you, and it'll still work across all platforms. So the one that I want to call out very specifically is every time you start a new PCL, you should install Microsoft.net.http, because this is a fantastic client library. It allows you to make async await HTTP calls to your web services and manage all of your service code inside your PCL extremely simply. And so that's if you're not doing this, you are doing PCL the wrong way. I would say almost all of my applications, I use HTTP client, I use MVVM Lite, I use JSON.NET, and then depending on what I'm doing, I might use Inject, I might use the BCL Async, especially if I have a Windows Phone 7.5 application that I'm building. Another thing that's really fun is that some of these projects are actually can be used inside of Xamarin. So if you have a PCL that you want to use across across an enormous number of platforms, including iOS and Android, that's something that is it's still in its infancy, but it's coming down the line very quickly. So in addition to portable class libraries, we have this concept of shared source code. And shared source code is shared files between multiple projects, so that whenever we change something inside of that file, it shows up in all of our projects. So when the APIs don't match, or perhaps the namespaces don't match, we can use additional techniques such as inheritance or if defs, which are compiler conditionals. We'll talk about that in a moment. So this is how shared source code works inside of the architecture we've been talking about. We build our portable class libraries, it's got all our services and models and view models. And we add the reference to that portable class library inside of our Windows Phone and Windows 8 application. Then we'll create a new view model, let's say in our Windows Store application. And we have that view model, maybe it inherits from one of our PCL view models. And we do a couple things. We add a command or some storage or whatever it is we want to add. And then we say, I want this exact code, I want this code file inside my Windows Phone 8 application. We'll right-click in our Windows Phone 8 app and add an existing file. And then inside of the add dialog, we'll go and find the file inside of our Windows Store application. Instead of just adding, we'll add it as a link. And now, one of the really cool things about this is that when we change the file inside our Windows 8 application, all those changes show up in our Windows Phone application. And so, in addition to this, that fairly cumbersome way of adding a file, we can actually just alt-click drag the file from one app, one project to another. So I want to show how this can work in practicality. So this is actually a project that I've been working on for a while, and it is there's something called it's based on something called the Hue lights, and Hue lights are these Wi-Fi enabled lights. You can turn them on and off, and you can change the colors. It's really very cool. But I have a Windows application, a Windows Phone, and a Windows Store application that drives my lights. So I have I can use it on the go, using my phone, or I can use it on my desktop. It's just a great little application. But I've got my view models here for my Windows Phone. Windows Phone, I've got them built up here. And then in my Windows Store, I have no view models. Well, what I can do is I can simply take my phone view models, and I'll show you the two ways that we can do this is we can add existing item, and then I can go and find those in here. I go to my source and phone. I can find them and grab them, and then go add as link. Or the way that I do it instead of that is I'm just holding down the Alt key. I grab my two files, hold down the Alt key, and I drag them into my view model. Apparently one at a time. And what you see is that little blue icon there says, oh, this file is linked somewhere else, so when you change it here, you are going to be changing it there as well. And what's cool about this is that if I close all my files up, if I open it inside of my Windows Store application, double-click and open it, now it's actually, I get all the IntelliSense that's available for Windows Store. And if I want to get the IntelliSense is only available for Windows Phone, I close it. I open it from my Windows Phone application. So that's how you switch between these two different IntelliSenses so that you can most efficiently write for both of your platforms. So managing those two, the file in two different projects is actually fairly simple. But there are going to be some instances where there are differences. And so in the same file, we've got to implement things just a little bit differently. I think a great example of this is the dispatcher timer, where sometimes you just need to update things on some sort of timer schedule. And we've got a dispatcher timer in Windows 8. We've got a dispatcher timer in Windows Phone. Unfortunately, they have this tiny little difference where the Windows 8 one has the event handlers on every tick are two objects, an object for the sender and an object for the event arguments. For Windows Phone, we have an object for the sender but event arguments, a type event argument. So obviously when we see a difference like this, we realize that it's all hopeless and we need to give up. Or we could use what we call if conditional blocks, which these are a really cool little feature that allow us to tell the compiler, hey, if you're using Windows 8, which is netfx_core, then I want you to point over here. And if you're, you run this line of code. And if you're using Windows Phone, run this other line of code. And we can do this for namespaces. We can do this for lines of code. It's just an easy way for us to manage two different projects, two different styles of doing things, especially small differences, inside one single file. So the if conditional compiler conditionals just enable and disable pieces of code. If we have it inside there, it to the other platform, it looks like it doesn't even exist. You can, as you can see in the code, it's netfx underscore core for Windows 8. It's Windows underscore phone for Windows Phone. You can actually change these. There's some settings. So if you feel that this is an inefficient way, if you want to just say Windows 8 as your if def, you can do that. Largely for, as I said, subtle differences in the API. If there are really big differences, maybe you're running an entirely different model for grouping or for some sort of business logic, then you're probably going to want to move back to the idea of doing the abstract classes and literally running different pieces or running a different file or class based on your Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 applications. This is really for namespaces, one-line differences, three-line differences, small differences inside the code that we need to manage. So going back to our overall architecture, our portable class libraries, our models living there, we've seen how we can build view models that live in portable class libraries, and view models that have extra functionality, things we don't have access to in portable class libraries, those are going to live inside of these shared link concept. And then lastly, our pieces that work only in Windows 8 and Windows Phone is going to be largely our views and our XAML. Now, the really cool thing about that is that we can build two completely separate UIs inside of Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. But because we have this data binding concept, we can say, all right, even though I've got these two UIs, they're binding to exactly the same commands to drive the interaction model. They're binding to the exact same data so that we're driving the data using all of the portable parts of our application, just displaying it a different way in Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And so that's the bulk of the structure, how we build Windows Phone and Windows 8 applications leveraging the same code, both the portable class libraries and shared view models.
This is really cool. I mean, it seems so important to start any project, even if your initial target is just, say, Windows 8 or just Windows Phone. Seems like it's really that important to start off with understanding all of this up front, because it'll just save you from a lot of rework down the road. So this is just really cool, really cool to see. So one of the challenges, though, that I see that people have is actually seeing this on a real application. So I know that we're a little short on time today, but what do you say that we in the next episode we dive into an actual project and take a look at how it's laid out with the PCLs and MVVM, and we can kind of see how it all comes together.
Yeah, in the next one, I have two really cool projects that I'd like to show off. One we saw a little bit of today with the hue lights. I'll actually pull those in, and we can see those in action. Because one of the things that I really love to show off with that is we can see not just that it works across both platforms, but what are some of the design decisions? Why did we decide to do one thing on Windows Phone and a different one on Windows 8? Because it can seem complex to do different XAMLs, but we see that when it comes to actual use, there's a lot of really good reasons for doing that. So I'll show off that Hue project that I have, but for something that's a little bit more accessible. I know not everybody has $200 worth of toy lights to play with.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to say, I looked that up real quick, and I've always seen them, and I'm thinking, wow, it's $200. It's
right. So for everybody who doesn't have $200 worth of toy lights to play with, we'll also look at it in the context of a simple RSS application. Right? How do we take and that'll be perfect, because one of the things that I do now every time I build a new Windows, I live in Windows Phone world, and then Windows 8 is an extension for me. And some people go the other way around, but whenever I build a new Windows Phone application, every single piece of my web services, every single piece of my object wrangling happens inside of a portable class library, because I know that when the time comes to move over to Windows 8, then I don't even have to think about it. It's already done. And so it's really great, because with JSON.NET and with the HTTP client library, I've got a great model for XML. XML-based services, a great model for JSON-based services, and I can go and basically reach out to any API inside my portable class library. Whatever application I'm building in Phone is it's just ready to go over to Windows 8.
It's awesome. It's definitely good to see. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, and maybe I can use this as an excuse to expense a Hue Light to myself.
Right.
I don't know, but it really would be cool to see. But I know we're out of time for today, and I know that you might have a meeting coming up soon, so I don't want to. I could keep going for a while, especially because it's something cool like a Hue Light, or
right.
Maybe we'll have to integrate like a Nest thermostat or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
Get some cool stuff going, but I really, Matthias, I really appreciate your time going through all this. But I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the projects in action and hearing you talk about some of the design decisions. So I really thank you for joining us today. Any closing comments that you have?
No, other than say thanks to everybody who watched through this. I know architecture can be a little bit hard to. It's not the most fun thing to hear about, but. I think when we combine this with some practical, let's see how this works inside of the code, you'll see there's a lot of benefit for architecting these things this way, and it allows us to really take our applications and make them truly universal, portable, and accessible to everyone on every platform.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. So we'll pick this up again shortly. I'm not exactly sure when all the episodes are going to air, but we'll pick this up and we'll look at some of the cool projects coming up in the next episode. But for everybody here, part of the Microsoft Dev Radio from Chris to Matthias, myself, thank you very much for joining us in this episode, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.